I think it will have an impact in New Jersey and in other places in terms of reinforcing the fears of a lot of Americans.
This is a long-term struggle for equal rights.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The New Jersey couples' rights ruling waits for a name. Voters in eight more states may ban wedding plans. And jazzy women, chamber pop, and queer hip-hop in the audiophile. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Kareem Ferguson.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 28, 2006. Lesbian and gay couples in the U.S. state of New Jersey celebrated a legal victory of sorts this week. Close, but no marriage cigars, at least not yet. By a 4-3 vote, the state Supreme Court ruled on October 25th that same-gender couples are entitled to the same marriage rights and responsibilities as heterosexual couples. But the majority ruling left it to the New Jersey legislature to decide what to call those unions. Denying committed same-sex couples the financial and social benefits and privileges given to their married heterosexual counterparts bears no substantial relationship to a legitimate governmental purpose, the majority opinion said. Citing the Equal Protection Clause of the New Jersey Constitution, the decision concluded that committed same-sex couples must be afforded on equal terms the same rights and benefits enjoyed by opposite-sex couples under the civil marriage statutes. But it continued, the name to be given to the statutory scheme that provides full rights and benefits to same-sex couples, whether marriage or some other term, is a matter left to the democratic process. The court ordered the legislature to either amend the marriage statutes or enact an appropriate statutory structure within 180 days of the date of its decision. The three dissenting justices said they did so because the ruling didn't go far enough and should have specified marriage as the legal remedy to discrimination against lesbian-gay couples.
The New Jersey ruling parallels a 1999 High Court verdict in Vermont that led that state legislature to create civil unions, which all but in name provide same-gender couples with equal legal marriage rights in the state. On the one hand, not a single justice said same-sex couples are unworthy of equal protection, Stephen Goldstein of New Jersey's Garden State Equality wrote in an email to supporters. On the other hand, we did not get marriage equality. Marriage is the only currency of commitment the real world universally accepts, he continued. Contraption short of marriage, like civil unions and domestic partnerships, do not provide the same protections. Thus, we do not have a win yet. And, he wrote, it's now up to us to make it happen. He later told a post-ruling rally that he would fight for full marriage equality until there is blood on these knuckles. On the campaign trail for his embattled Republican Party, U.S. President George W. Bush predictably condemned the New Jersey justices. We had another activist court issue a ruling that raises doubts about the institution of marriage, he said. Echoing previous comments, he called marriage a sacred institution that is critical to the health of our society and the well-being of families, and it must be defended. Both conservative, anti-queer religious groups and many in the Republican Party are privately celebrating the New Jersey High Court ruling. They're hoping it will mobilize the same voter base in the upcoming midterm elections that swarmed voting booths in 2004 to pass several state constitutional amendments outlawing legal recognition of same-gender couples and re-elect George W. Bush and the GOP-controlled Congress.
New Jersey Democratic Assemblyman Reed Goscoria is one of several lawmakers who promised to sponsor a bill giving same-gender couples the right to marry, with no separate name or lesson privileges. Full marriage equality merely answers the call of the Supreme Court, he said. But many Republican legislators denounced the ruling, and one vowed to try to impeach the justices, an unlikely event. Republican Assemblyman Guy Gregg promised to introduce a bill to amend the state constitution to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. He admitted it had little chance of passage, but claimed the public, which must vote on proposed constitutional amendments approved by the legislature, would support it. Democratic State Senator Ray Lesniak told reporters that lawmakers will support the equal rights of same-gender couples ordered by the court. But he predicted the Democratic-controlled legislature would stop short of applying the term marriage to lesbian and gay unions. More than 40 U.S. states have laws defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Nearly 20 have written the definition into their constitutions. And voters in 8 more states have same-gender marriage ban amendments on their November 7th ballots.
Meanwhile, the Washington State Supreme Court is standing by its ruling denying gay and lesbian couples the right to marry. Same-gender couples had asked the justices to reconsider their July 5-4 decision upholding Washington's Defense of Marriage Act. The majority ruling validated that 1998 state law limiting marriage to heterosexual couples in order to promote and encourage stable families. The court's refusal to review that ruling, signed by Chief Justice Jerry Alexander this week, is the final word in the case. Equality activists can't make a federal case out of it because no federal legal issues were involved. The High Court rarely reconsiders its rulings, and few observers expected it to revisit a decision that took nearly 18 months to announce. Washington marriage equality supporters said the denial was particularly disheartening because it came on the same day New Jersey's Supreme Court ruled. As Lisa Stone, director of the Northwest Women's Law Center, which represented the plaintiffs in the case, told reporters, just as the New Jersey court recognized the discrimination that gays and lesbians face and said they're entitled to be treated the same, our court essentially declined to do that. Massachusetts is, of course, the only U.S. state where full legal marriage is open to gay and lesbian couples. The U.S. federal government refuses to recognize legal same-gender marriages, domestic partnerships, or civil unions anywhere in the country.
South Africa's Human Rights Commission has criticized the Mbeki government's civil unions bill, which would create a separate institution essentially identical to marriage for same-gender couples. The bill was introduced in response to a 2005 Constitutional Court ruling that gave legislators until December 1st of this year to end the Marriage Act's discrimination against lesbi-gay couples. The commission called the civil union bill unconstitutional, discriminatory, and stigmatizing. It said the government should instead amend the Marriage Act to allow same-gender marriage. If lawmakers don't take action by December 1st, the nation's high court said the Marriage Act will automatically be interpreted to include same-gender couples. But the court has remained silent about whether or not civil unions will satisfy its ruling. Queer activists staged a march and picket against the civil union bill in Pretoria in mid-October. Civil partnerships are not equivalent to marriage, Alex Ringelman, one of the organizers, told the Independent newspaper. They entrench institutional segregation in our law and a separate inferior status for gay relationships.
Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper reports that groups still fighting marriage equality in the country now say they're no longer pushing for an immediate return to the traditional definition of one man and one woman. Facing almost certain defeat in a coming parliamentary vote to reopen the contentious issue, spokespeople from primarily conservative Christian groups said at a press conference this week that they'd be happy if politicians would simply study the impact of marriage by gay and lesbian couples on Canadian society. But officials representing 4 different religious denominations said at a separate news conference that repealing the law would restrict their freedom to perform same-gender ceremonies. The 2005 law creating marriage equality in Canada both opens legal marriage to same-gender couples and protects the rights of religious communities to live their faith in the ways they see appropriate, vis-a-vis equal marriage. It would take a major shift to convince MPs that prolonging the marriage discussion with further study is a good idea. Most analysts say that lawmakers want to finally end the divisive debate and move on.
And some Canadian postal workers are wondering how much hate qualifies as hate mail. Several Vancouver, British Columbia mail carriers refused this week to deliver a pamphlet described by Canadian Union of Postal Workers spokesperson Ken Mooney as really offensive and hate mail. Some postal workers refused to even touch them. Produced by the Fundamentalist Baptist Mission of Waterford, Ontario, the tract rails against the plague of this 21st century, the consequences of the sin of homosexuality, AIDS. But Canada Post spokesperson Colleen Frick told the Toronto Star that the posties don't have the right to refuse to deliver the mail. The contract between the corporation and the union requires them to deliver mail the corporation deems acceptable, and this item was deemed such.
But finally, Rex Committee Lambda, or RKL, Austria's major LGBT civil rights organization, has celebrated its 15th anniversary in style. Over 500 people packed the chambers of the lower house of parliament in early October to honor the group in what the European branch of ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, called a first ever global event. The president of Austria sent video greetings, as did the head of Austria's police forces, the minister of justice, and the president of Austria's judges association were among the in-person speakers, moderated by Constitutional Court Justice Lilian Hofmeister. Openly gay Justice Edwin Cameron of South Africa's Supreme Court of Appeals delivered the keynote speech, while out Australia High Court Justice Michael Kirby said in a congratulatory video that he regretted not being able to attend in person. A festive reception followed, held in the stunning Parthenon-like main hall of the Parliament building. Can any other queer advocacy group in the world top that?
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 28, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Kareem Ferguson.
And I'm Rick Watts.
You'll learn how the parents of gays and lesbians gave birth to something bigger and sample what's hot on the queer music scene later in the program.
In order to protect the sanctity of marriage, is it enough to keep the queers from getting hitched? Stopping there just puts the proverbial horse behind the carriage. Why not attack the problem at its very source? It's time to outlaw divorce. That's right, if we can't get married, you can't get divorced. If gay people can't tie the knot, straight folks have got to stay together till death do them part, no matter how miserable they are. No more celebrities like Elizabeth Taylor, with more ex-husbands than anyone can recall. No more annulments coming from the Church of Rome. No more divorce attorneys getting filthy rich. No more relief from the 7-year itch. Because if we can't get married, you can't get divorced. If gay people can't tie the knot, straight folks have got to stay together, if only for the kids. No matter how bad their marriage is, you'll say your vows, they'll throw some rice. All dressed up and looking nice. And now guess what? You're stuck for life. Woman and husband, man and wife. Protect the sanctity of holy matrimony. Amend the Constitution to reflect this little change. No more second chances, no more alimony. If marriage needs defending as they claim, take another look at who's to blame. If we can't get married, you can't get divorced. If gay people can't tie the knot, straight folks have got to stay together, whatever it takes. The sanctity of marriage is at stake.
Ron Romanofsky there for the straight folks who don't mind queers but want to save marriage for themselves. The good news for gays and lesbians is that the New Jersey Supreme Court has decided that same-gender couples deserve the same rights and benefits enjoyed by opposite-sex couples under the civil marriage statutes. The bad news is that the ruling could galvanize the forces against marriage equality just ahead of the November 7th U.S. midterm elections. voters in eight states will be handing down their own verdicts on the issue, and what they do at the ballot box could have a huge impact on the future of legal recognition for lesbian and gay couples. Despite the track record of previous ballot initiatives to ban marriage equality, analysts say that at least a couple of the current measures may fail. Free Speech Radio News reporter Darby Hickey looks at some of these initiatives and how the marriage debate will affect the elections overall.
Six of those amendments, if approved, would also restrict the legal benefits of marriage to married couples only, banning civil unions as well as gay marriage. While amendments in Tennessee, South Carolina, and Idaho are likely to pass, gay activists say they're optimistic about the chances of defeating the amendments in several other states. 10 other proposed amendments died in state legislatures over the past year, but anti-gay marriage activism could get a shot in the arm from the New Jersey Supreme Court decision, says Maggie Gallagher, president of the Institute for Marriage and Public Policy.
It's that it intensifies the organizers and leadership that kind of motivates their people to get out for a variety of reasons, and I think it will have an impact in New Jersey and in other places in terms of reinforcing the fears of a lot of Americans that they could wake up and find that, you know, a couple of judges have now announced that not only is everything they think about marriage wrong, but that they're like a bigot for even imagining that, you know, to make a marriage you need a husband and wife.
Groups mobilizing for the recognition of same-sex relationships seem to be doing well in Arizona, Wisconsin, and South Dakota, where some opinion polls show voters may defeat those amendments. In Colorado, gay activists have put more energy into passing a domestic partnership law than into stopping the constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. The legal status of all unmarried couples is a subject of a proposed Virginia constitutional amendment, which supporters say will ensure nothing like gay marriage will ever come to their state. The differences among these proposals and the diversifying tactics of groups on both sides of the issue leave the future of state recognition of same-sex couples in flux, says author Jonathan Rauch.
There's no question that there will be various forms throughout America of recognition for gay couples. That's clearly going to happen, and not only the poll numbers, but the facts on the ground show it. The question is, what form will those arrangements take? And I believe that that question is very, very far from settled.
What's also unclear is how the gay marriage issue will affect voter turnout during these midterm elections. Gay marriage as a mobilizing issue of conservative voters may have been hot 2 years ago, but a number of factors have changed that, says Bob Benenson, politics editor at Congressional Quarterly.
It just is not appearing as the kind of issue that we had in 2004 in terms of voter turnout.
Recognizing that same-sex marriage is also not the number one issue for many people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, or LGBT, a group of progressives from the LGBT community issued a statement several months ago called Beyond Marriage, which connected the push for same-sex marriage to larger social justice struggles. A signatory to the letter, Columbia University professor Allie Miller, says that anti-gay marriage amendments are both a direct threat to a specific group and a diversionary tactic from efforts to oppress many kinds of people.
So it was an effort to be part of all of those discussions, but on the side of social progress, and to refute the notion, to expose the fact that anti-same-sex marriage is itself, those positions are about stripping people of rights, but also make it clear that to be for marriage by itself would be unreal. We wanted to situate the arguments for many different kinds of families in a broader social movement struggle.
The struggle for equal rights is progressing, says Marty Rouse of the Human Rights Campaign, seemingly taking in stride defeats like the Georgia and New York court decisions against gay marriage earlier this year. Rouse says ups and downs, including the New Jersey Supreme Court decision and the fall elections, are all part of a movement for the realization of equal rights.
This is a long-term struggle for equal rights. And right now, in 33 states across this country, you can still be fired from your job for being gay or lesbian. How can you fight against a marriage ban in Tennessee if you can't even talk about being gay without risking your job and security for your family? So this is really a long-term struggle, a long-term fight.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Darby Hickey in Washington, D.C.
PFLAG, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In 1972, as Gene and Jules Manford watched their local newscast, they saw their son Morton beaten during a gay protest at a New York City hotel as police did nothing. Their anger galvanized them into action. Jean wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Post saying simply, "My son is a homosexual and I love him." The Manfreds soon appeared on more than 20 talk shows as parents in support of their gay children. In 1972, Jean marched with her son in the New York City Pride Parade, carrying a sign saying, "Parents of gays united in support of our children." Of course, the crowd embraced her. Within a year, she'd formed a parent support group in New York City. Her idea blossomed into the national organization called PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. It's no wonder PFLAG gets the loudest applause at Pride parades all across America. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Mary Gay Hutcherson.
LGBT history is still in the making, as support groups like PFLAG have also been rallying the families and friends of lesbians and gay men in several other countries.
Hi, this is Carlene.
And I'm Gareth.
And we're from JFLAG,
Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, Homosexuals, and Gays.
And you're listening to This Way Out,
the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Simmons, Jr. of Lebanon, Ohio, a longtime This Way Out listener and donor. In memory of my mother, Mabel Simmons, I'm issuing a matching challenge to supporters of this volunteer-driven nonprofit operation. Please visit thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air will now be worth twice as much. You'll also get a tax deduction if you're in the United States, and you'll find some unique holiday gifts there too. Again, please log on to thiswayout.org. We'll all be very thankful.
A San Francisco Bay Area band of women, a golden boy from the same neighborhood, and a Texas honey whose name is Money, share their music and inspiration in this month's audiophile.
Out of the Oakland, California area comes a very talented addition to the world of jazz. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The name of the group and the album is Montclair Women's Big Band. Ellen Sealing is the band's director.
This is our debut recording, which we did in 03 after the band had been together for about 6 or 7 years. It features 14 classic big band arrangements, including 5 vocals by Vicki Randall, Vince Hillary, and Pamela Rose, and a whole host of local Bay Area very hot women jazz soloists.
Find out more about this album at www.montclairwomensbigband.com.
New York-based Reuben Bouchart's second album is called Golden Boy, and it showcases his singing and songwriting talents as well as his diverse musical influences.
It's a lushly orchestrated collection of songs that harken back to the golden days by the Golden Gate, meaning California, where I grew up. And it's sort of 70s classic soul-tinged chamber pop. Stevie Wonder meets Rufus Wainwright, or maybe early Elton John, something like that.
So my soul.
You can learn more about Reuben Bouchart's album, Golden Boy, at www.reubenbouchart.com. That's www.reubenbouchart.com.
From Houston, Texas, comes Miss Money, whose music blends R&B, gospel, and hip-hop.
And The Love of Money is the title of her debut CD.
The Love of Money CD is my first step out as a vocalist, and what I did is I went to the studio and I compiled all of my vocal tracks while being under the mixtape radar. It shows what you can do with little resources and a lot of faith.
Find out more about Miss Money and her album, The Love of Money, at www.missmoney.net.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Kareem Ferguson, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Judd Proctor, and Brian Burns with Mary Gay Hutcherson, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Darby Hickey and Free Speech Radio News. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners. We thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air is now worth twice as much to us, and choose from some special CD thank you gifts. You can email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 2BLU, Katoomba, New South Wales, KALW, San Francisco, California, WOJB, Hayward, Wisconsin, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.